Good evening. It's certainly good to see all that is out. We have a large crowd tonight, and that makes me feel very good. I have thoroughly enjoyed this series of meetings. As they say, all good things have to come to an end. And I just want to say that I appreciate the kindness and the hospitality and all that each and every one of you have shown unto me. I want to say this, that I've come to know many of you here in the last few years, and I have come to love you very dearly. I certainly appreciate the fact, the stand that you take for the truth, and worshiping the Lord, the positive stand that you have for that which is right. So many places around are giving in to Satan and his intervention, and it's a shame, but I'm certainly thankful for you, and I thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here. Tonight, I'm not going to be long-winded. I'm going to try to keep it to a minimum, and I hope that I can say something that will help us in our everyday walk of life. You know, I have been to some meetings, and I've heard some say after they have left, boy, that's a boring sermon. Well, we're here to study. I hope that we're not here to be entertained. If we come for the right purpose in mind, and we open the Bible, and we quote scriptures and read scriptures, certainly we can learn from God's will. And that's the reason that we're here. I trust and hope and pray. I've got a little subject tonight that I want to speak about, and it's not going to be long, but it's going to be pretty well to the point, and I hope that the things that I say that you can receive a benefit and a blessing from it. Three little word sentences. Now, I'm sure you can think of quite a few of these, but I'm only going to name over just a short few. You know, the tongue that we have sitting between these teeth, well, I mean, sometimes it gets us in a lot of trouble. And it can get us in trouble in two different ways. It can be quiet, or it can wag and say things that just really get you in trouble. I get in the doghouse occasionally because I wag it a little bit too much. So I try to be careful. I try to say the right things. Do the right things, but say the right things and keep quiet at times too. But the tongue is a very powerful instrument. It can be both good and it can be both evil. And in James 3:10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." We see that the tongue is very, very important. Blessings and cursing. So it can be a blessing and it can be a cursing. In Matthew 12:37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So the tongue is very important, isn't it? It can condemn us and it can justify us. Thankfully, there's moments when I feel like that I have said just exactly what I needed to say at certain times. And still there's other occasions when that I feel like that I have said something that is very out of place. And I'm sure that probably happened to a lot of you. We need to stop, slow down, and think. I've had a lot of problems with that because over the years I say what I think, and a lot of times what I think I need to hold back and wait a little bit and make sure that what I'm saying is right, but it'll get us in trouble. Listen to what it says here. Look at it, what it says in Ecclesiastes 7. "A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak." You know, it's certainly there's been appropriate words that I have had in my mind at certain occasions that I should have spoke, but I kept quiet. I didn't let it come out. I just couldn't get the words out. And on other occasions, there's words that, boy, they just roll out real quick, and gets us into a jam. This evening, I want us to consider a few of these three-word sentences that sometimes we have a lot of trouble saying. We don't have any problem understanding the meaning, but we do have difficulty many times in getting these words out that we're going to be talking about. Each of these three-word sentences has a powerful meaning. It has when it comes from the heart. And we need to look at them. First of all, there's one three-word sentence that I want to mention. I don't know. I don't know. Scratch your head. You can tell I've been scratching mine a little. I'm getting a bit thin on top. Like that fellow there. But anyway, there is a time when we need to say that I just don't know. But it's also true that the Scripture teaches that we should be ready at all times to give an answer when someone asks us a reason of the hope within us. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's also true, though, sometimes we need to say, I just don't know the answer to the question. Sometimes we have to say that. In my private study sometimes when I'm studying, I'm going to admit, there's times I run across something, a question, a biblical question, that I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I need to make sure before I answer and try to bluff my way through it. Have you seen some that would do that? I have. And you always can tell when somebody knows the answer or they're knowledgeable in it or they're just trying to bluff their way through. So it's better for us to say, hey, you know, I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But give me a little time and I'll go to the Scriptures and I'll look it up and I'll give you the answer. So, you know, those I don't know, that's some words that we really need to learn to say sometimes. It's very important. People, like I say, usually they know when you are sincere and you know what you're talking about. So make sure that when we are asked a question, don't bluff our way through it. Be willing to say, hey, I don't know. And I'm going to look it up and find out and tell you the right answer. What about this one? I love you. I love you. We've all heard that. I stuck this little symbol there. I found that. You remember back, I do remember back in my high school days, it seems like it. We used to go around and carve on trees and put a little heart on it and say, I love you. And we'd write on different cars and different things. We'd write this little emblem. I don't know what the arrow means through it. I read it's a broke heart over somebody that you, you know, had a crush on or something. But anyway, the word, I love you. What about in our family? In our family members? I want to say this. I was very fortunate to come up in a family that was a hugging type family. I love to hug. And that's my expression of love. I mean, that I really like you. And I just the way I was brought up. My mother and my dad, they always hugged. And every night before we would go to bed, they would come and hug and say, good night, I love you. And it really means something to me. It means something to me when, you know, somebody tells me, I love you. When I call my children, I talk to them on the phone, I always, it's in, and they always do, my grandchildren and all, tell me, say, well, bye, said, I see, I love you. I heard that this evening from a young man here, told his dad, when he got ready to hang up, he said, I love you. See, that means a lot. That means a lot to you. And Titus 2 and 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's something that we need to teach. We need to hear. We need to hear those words. Hopefully one day these children will grow up, and when they do, they'll say, hey, I love you. I think all of us like that. We all enjoy hearing those words. Husbands, also, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Think about it. It's not a childish, unmanly thing to tell someone you love them. What about Jesus? What did he say? What did he say? John 13:34, new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. No greater love has any man ever shown than Jesus showed to us. And he also said, I love you. He cares about us. He cares about each and every one of us. In 2 John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Three little words that mean so much. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, 37th through the 40th verse, we find there that we are to love God first, and we are to love our neighbors ourselves. The problem in the world today is that there is so many that don't worry about others, but they worry about themselves. They don't express that word, I love you. And if they were to say it, they probably didn't and wouldn't mean it. It's something that's got to come from the heart, something that we need to say to others. You know, there's not a thing wrong with telling our brothers and sisters that we love them. We are to love one another, just as our Savior loved us, just as he told us that he loved us. We should love in the church and express that. We should love, tell one another, and also in the home, too. We should, in our families, tell one another that we love each other. What about this three-letter word? I was wrong. Oh, this is a tough one. You know, it's very easy for us to make mistakes. Man, I can make mistakes all day long. And I'm going to tell you, every one of us in here is going to make mistakes as we go through life. If we don't make a mistake, we haven't done anything. I'm telling you, we all make mistakes. But it's a different story when you make a mistake and then you realize it and own up to it and say, hey, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Three letters, three little words, very simple. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was the only one that never made a mistake. In 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He made no mistakes. He was pure. All the rest of us, we're all in the same boat. We are. Every one of us. As I said, we all make mistakes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sometimes, you know, there's some that make bigger mistakes than others, but, you know, when you're guilty of sin, you're guilty of all. That's what he says. So, all of us are guilty from time to time. All of us need to tell the other one, hey, I love you, you know, I do love you, and you own up and say, hey, I was wrong. Think about it. Even when I mistake, may not be in the category of transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4, it tells us there the words, I was wrong. These, they're often very needful to lay problems and things to rest. Get it over, get it solved. Let us make sure that we're willing to make and say these three little words. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. We need to do that. We need to make sure that we're able to say these three little words. Here's another. I don't agree. I thought this was pretty good because I've run into occasions where I didn't agree. And I might have kept silent when I should have said, hey, I don't agree. in our discussions with others from time to time, we run across those that tell something. Maybe they are sincere, maybe they make a mistake or whatever, but it's something that's not true. We need to stand up and say, hey, I don't agree with that. That's not being mean, that's not being ugly, that is something we need to do. We need to do it, especially in the church. If we don't do that in the church, time goes on, there's going to be all kind of corruption that's going to bleed in and come right on in. We've got to stand up and confront it and say, hey, I don't agree with that. But there's also times, you know, when we have to do it in a, there's always a time when you have to do it in a loving, kind way and explain the Bible, why we disagree. Don't disagree just to be disagreeing. You know, we need to make sure when we don't agree, it's the biblical reason, a reason why we don't agree. We don't need to sit silent and listen and let men and women split the church or say things that are blasphemous and cause problems and just sit there and let it go. No. We are to stand up for the truth. Jesus did. Jesus said that he didn't come to the earth to cause peace. You remember that scripture? I can't remember exactly where it said, but he didn't come to cause peace. He came to cause division. Jesus said that. He stood up for the truth. Division. Light from darkness. Divide the sinful world from the righteous. That's what he said. That's the division he's talking about. That's standing up for the truth. Jesus expressed his disagreement with the Pharisees over in Mark 7, the first few verses of that, where they were arguing about the washing of hands and being clean. And you remember in Acts 15, 1 and 2, Paul and Barnabas. You remember over circumcision, there was a big disagreement. They stood up. The example there, Jesus disagreed with the Pharisees, Paul and Barnabas, they disagreed with those about that. So, the examples are there for us to take note of that we, too, knowledgeable of the Scripture, if we see something that is wrong, we need to say, I don't agree. Stand up for that. Here's one that I want us to look at very closely. This is a real, real hard one for a lot of people. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. In Luke 17 and 3, Jesus said, if a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Take heed to yourselves. If a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. You know, it's a sad truth. It's this, that many cases of reconciliation between Christians who are at odds with each other, It just goes on and on and never comes to an end. Never comes to an end. One reason is that is because maybe one of the brothers or sisters, whoever it is not willing to express the sorrow. Say, hey, please forgive me. I'm wrong. And then the other problem is when they do say that, there's others that won't forgive. They just hold on and hold on. This goes back to the fact of I love you. A Christian loves his brothers and sisters and he tries his best to work out any problem and get along. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The mindset that we should have is to be like Jesus was. Be just like him. Be of a forgiving, a loving and caring person. That's what we're to be. We worry about our brothers and sisters. We worry about our friends that we love so dear. If we don't worry about them, we don't love them. I worry to death about my children. And I know you do too. I worry about my grandchildren growing up in this world. It's a wicked world. I worry a lot about how they're going to turn out. And I want them to do right. And I want them to be kind, loving, caring people when they grow up. I want them to be godly people. And I want to set an example before them, and an example before them is one that loves their neighbor and is a forgiving type person. Look at the seven. Can I help? Three little words. Can I help? You know, we're accustomed to walking in. In fact, this evening we had to go to Walmart, and I can't go a week without going to Walmart. Maybe not two or three days. But I always go in Walmart or Lowe's. Lowe's. I love to go to Lowe's, Home Depot. I don't know why. I just love to look. But when you go in there, somebody's always coming up to say, hey, sir, can I help you? Can I do something for you? You know, or can I find something for you? Can I help? We hear those words all the time. But how many times in the kingdom of God, in the church, do we hear our brothers and sisters come up and say, hey, can I help? And there's something I can do. Can I help to further the cause of Christ? Now, how many congregations, think about it, a swamp of people trying to request to do, just chomping at the bit, wanting to do various different works. See in those words, can I help? I don't think we are guilty of causing a traffic problem out here on the streets trying to go to knocking on doors. We don't seem to do that. There's a lot of denominations all around. They do that. I had one tell me one time that we in the Church of Christ nothing but a bunch of bench warmers. You know, and I just had to almost turn and walk away from them, not say anything, because, you know, almost he's telling the truth. You know, we come, we're on Sunday morning, we're here, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, but in between, you know, we're going about our separate ways, doing our little thing, running here and there. And a lot of the denominations, even though they're wrong, they're busy, busy, busy. See, that's the way Satan is. Satan is busy, busy. And they're asking the whole time, can I help? And they're getting together and they're running on. We need to make sure that we ask that question. Can I help? It's a responsibility. It's a responsibility of a Christian. Do what we can do. Don't wait till we are asked. A lot of people just, you know, they hear some talk, something going on, they turn and walk on off, and you've got to run them down and say, hey, will you come? We're going to have a meeting, and we're going to have a work day. You just got to beg and plead to get them to come and want to do something. But we have a responsibility to the Lord. And when we put Him first, it makes us, you know, where we can say those three little words, can I help? And then be willing to do that. Can I help? There's a song in our songbook back home. It's number 81. And I don't know what it is in your book here, but it is, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. We sing that song quite often back home. And the words in it are very good. Here am I, Lord, send me. How can we sing a song like that and not truly mean it? There's a lot of songs we sing that, you know, if we're not very careful, we might be singing something that is untrue. We need to sing with the Spirit, with the understanding, and mean what we say. Lord, send me. What a blessing. Can I help? I had it and didn't even, I told you I'm getting used to this. It's taking me a little time, but I got a little ahead of myself. This song here, there is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus called for reapers. I must active be. What was thou, O Master? Here am I, send me. Beautiful song. Can I help? In conclusion, I don't know. Now, some people may disagree with that, but I think that there is, as I said, and as I have shown, there's appropriate time to say that. And that's not an excuse for us to turn aside and not answer someone that asks us the reason of the hope that lies within us. We are to answer them, but we need to know. How do we know and become knowledgeable? Studying. That's why it's so important. Hezekiah was told over there that he was going to die soon, and for him to set his house in order. And the way he set his house in order was through knowledge, through the knowledge of God's Word. In other words, for us to have our house set in order and to be able to answer somebody when they ask a question, pray to God and ask for that knowledge. And then not only pray for them, but put some action into it and study. Study His Word. And fill your mind with these words of God. And that still doesn't mean that you're going to know it all. There's no person that ever learns it all. There's no time for us to retire and just feel like that we have learned it all. I've heard of preachers selling their books and what have you, and they said they were going to retire. Oh, I read no place where we retire. We try to obtain knowledge till the day that we leave this earth so that we can answer those. But there is a time when we have to say, I don't know. Remember this one. I love you. I love you. Tonight, before you leave, you don't have to do this, but just see how it feels. Turn to the one sitting beside you and say, hey, after service, just say, I love you. And see how easy those words are to say. But don't say it unless you mean it. But a Christian means it. Just turn to someone that, you know, maybe it's not in your family, someone, you know, just say those words and see how it sounds. Do that and see if it doesn't feel good. I'm telling you, nobody ever told me that they love me that I didn't like it. I like to hear it. It's so enjoyable. And that's what God wants us to do. When we're wrong, let's own up and say, hey, I'm wrong. Please forgive me. And do what's right. It's very easy to commit to sin, but it's sometimes hard to say that. And let us not sit by and not stand up and stand for the truth. Let us always, when the truth is being corrupted, when the truth is not being upheld, let us make our voice known. I don't agree. Be able to back it up, though, and do it. And tell them from the Scriptures. That's something that is a biblical example that we're to do. I don't agree. Please forgive me. Please forgive. Whenever we do something, never, never go on and not ask forgiveness. When we go to bed at night, before we ever crawl into bed, we need to pray to our Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive us. Because, as we've already said, and we've already seen from the Scriptures, all of us sin. He tells us not to let the sun go down on your wrath. I truly believe that we need every day to ask forgiveness. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I made it this week and I hadn't sinned. No. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. See, you sin not only in commission, but in sense of omission. You can omit to do certain things and sin. Maybe it was to pick up the phone and call a friend and say, hey, I love you. Come on to church tonight. Or, how are you doing? Can I help you? Or, you know, there's just a lot of things that a Christian is supposed to do. We have to do. So never feel like that you go a day without sinning and are not in need of our Heavenly Father. Because we all are. Oh, I need Him all the time. I have to beg and plead all the time. And He's always, and I know He will forgive. Can I help? Let us all remember that word too, those words. Can I help? See, a Christian life is not all about one person. It's about a collective group of Christians working together, helping one another to get through this life without, you know, getting just overwhelmed with sin. We work together, and we do it out of love. You see a brother that's sinning, that's doing something, it's your responsibility to go and say, hey, can I help you with this? Is there something I can do? Can I find something to do to help you and so that you can solve that and let's correct it in your life and go on with the help of one another. We don't turn our back on our brothers and our sisters. Think about it. Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. the proper word said at the right time is so beautiful. It's so needed, and it's something that we must do. Proverbs 10 and 20. The tongue of the just is a choice, is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. I want to say this in conclusion, that I have thoroughly appreciated the fact that you have given me the opportunity to say the things that I have said to you. I hope and pray that I have not said anything contrary to God's will, but I also hope that I have built a fire under the pew where you sit. That when you go home, no matter what you think about me, think about the words that I have said and the scriptures that we have read. Get them out and dig and look and see if what I'm telling you is not correct. See if what I'm telling you is that found in God's holy word. We've got to struggle, brothers and sisters. Time is getting worse and worse as day goes by. There's new things happening every day that Satan is winning in his battle. In this battle that we're in, I think we're losing. I know we are. We're losing. We're not growing like we used to do. Satan is growing more and more every day. And he can turn us aside. He can get our minds all corrupted and lead us astray very easy. Unless we pray to him, pray to him, and ask him. And he'll help us. He'll give us anything that we want. If we, in his name, if we ask in his name and according to his will. See, a lot of people think that, boy, a week or two, a half hour service, and that gives me a token to stick in the big vending machine in the sky, and God's going to pour out all of his blessings on me. No, it's a lot different than that. We are a people that are sincere and live daily in service to him. That's what it's about, daily to him. And if we pray to him and ask him, he will guide us. He will lead us. And he will help us with these three little words, sentences. He'll help us to be a better person. If there's one here that has never obeyed the gospel, we want to offer the invitation. You need to hear the word, believe it. Repent of your sins and confess Christ and be buried in baptism. That places you in the body of Christ. Outside the body of Christ, there's no hope. The hope lies within the church and the service that you do in the church unto the Lord. You cannot serve him outside the church. If you've done this and slipped and fell and turned back into the ways of the world, he tells us that we are to confess our faults one to another. And he is faithful and just to do it, and he will. So if there's one here tonight that is in need of prayer to the church and encourage us to come forward, that he's going to come.
I am no longer to linger, charmed by the world's desire. Things are higher, things are lower, things are lower than I thought. I am a sinner, faith from the net, faith from the Thank you.